Thank you for choosing KHSU for your Tuesday, the 8th of May. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves. Three segments on today's program. Later, I'll have the first in a series of interviews I'm doing with North Coast Open Studios charter artists, whose participation goes back to 1999, when the event first began. Open Studios turns 20 this year, and it will be held the first two weekends of June. Also, later, a very special tribute song in honor of my son's graduation from college. First today, the Black Fawn Gallery presents D-State, a group show of surrealist work, which includes a sculptural installation by Nancy Tobin, collages by Curtis Patrick Arnold, and oil and charcoal works by Corinne Billings. The exhibit is on display through May 26th, and all three artists are my guests. The three of you are united in this exhibition, but you haven't met one another before?
No.
This
right?
is the first time we've met.
Yeah, well, first time just now.
So Black Fawn united you under the title, basically, D-State. Is this something that Black Fawn Gallery proposed to you, or I'm wondering where D-State came from?
I think D-State came from Claire and Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin, the founder
of
Black Fawn.
Okay. And because it's dreaming. It's a, you know, as researchers say, it's dreaming sleep.
Yeah, I think.
But but yours is, we're going into a dream with each of your works, I guess. With each of your works, surrealism, which is, with each of your works, we're going into a dream state rather than starting in a dream and feeling almost awake. It's like the opposite. We're going into a dream state. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So thinking about that and thinking about the fact that you're just meeting now and your works all fit that category, at least in terms of Black Fawn Gallery, starting with Nancy, would you say that your work fits into that category, dreaming, a surreal category?
Yes, I would. This installation that I'm working on is, it's like an idyllic sensory dreamscape, and it's an experiential, so it's meant to be taken in by the viewer as they walk through and discover the piece. And there are no people in it. It's all a surreal take on, and this installation specifically is water themed, so waterfalls and pools of water. So it'll have elements that come down the walls and kind of that are not water. They're made out of other materials, and sweeps into the floor and into a body of water that goes onto the floor. So it's like a surreal take on an environment. So kind of in a kind of a dreamscape, personal dreamscape.
So again, are we actually seeing water, or we think we're seeing water?
No, you won't see water. It'll be water is made. The water on the floor will be hundreds of pounds of corn, yellow corn kernels that will be sculpted or pushed into bodies of water forms, and then the boundary will be a pink tentacle type buoy that's filled with sand, and so those will outline the whole form. And then within these islands or these bodies of water will be stacks of other elements, like the last installation that I did, which this is kind of a continuation of that installation. It had stacks of like a couch with chair stacked on top of a chair, stacked on top of a chair. And then, so the scale starts larger at the bottom and gets smaller as it works its way up to the top and kind of teeters, and then had dried natural flowers that I collected from the dunes were kind of tucked in without, like it was a big giant flower arrangement almost.
And you're calling this installation My Pillow Falls?
Mm-hmm.
Why My Pillow Falls?
It's kind of a take on just contemporary commercialism, like the TV commercials, like mypillow.com. I just think it's funny. It's just kind of ridiculous, but yet it catches, it sticks. And so it's kind of like something that's occurring in my world at the time with all the hearing the commercials coming through and just kind of working that into my materials, just thinking about pillows and sleeping and dreamscape and alternative universes and
yeah.
And so, it falls like a waterfall. So,
why are you attracted to making art that is surreal in nature rather than more realistic?
That's a good question. My work is usually materials driven, and so I'm often out and I collect, and I'm attracted. I mean, I do a lot of scouting and looking before I buy things, and then I'll come across like an items in mass, and then when I find them in mass, then I'll purchase them, and so then I'll kind of have them all in a little stockpile and pick and choose from them when I'm creating the next installation or the next singular sculpture.
So, Curtis, you were nodding about the surreal. So you can either ask Nancy a question or to tell me, or we can just launch into why you're attracted to surrealism and what your work.
I can relate to what you're saying about surrealism, but also about the subconscious. I think my work has a lot to do with, I think I actually produce a lot of my work subconsciously. I don't really think that consciously about it. But it definitely is surreal in that it comes from my own inner turmoil and trying to deal with a lot of different dualities that I deal with.
Well, let's talk about like the work that you're going to be showing at Black Fawn Gallery. Am I correct? Are these collages?
They're collages with pen and ink. Yeah.
And so how, give an example of what one might be composed of.
Usually I cut up different pieces that I feel are right for the piece that I'm trying to portray. And this is literal pieces from books and magazines, and I put them together in a way that I think that they, you know, sort of subconsciously fit together. And I started out as an inker in comic books, and so inking is my favorite medium, and I just started inking over them after I had finished the collage piece, and it really worked, and so it almost becomes the ink almost becomes like a growth that moves through the paper pieces and sort of binds them together. Yeah,
and then it becomes a new item that we're looking at.
Absolutely. Yeah,
but again, it's something that, in other words, when we look at it, we're gonna a person who's looking at it's gonna think differently than the other person who's looking at it.
Absolutely. Especially since, I mean, I guess like all artwork comes from an individual. I try to balance, sort of balancing a line between the beautiful and the terrible is really where I'm trying to go.
I want to go over to Corinne.
I guess most of the time I either I start doodling either on paper or in my sketchbook until I find a line that seems to feel right, and then let something grow from that until it seems to have some sort of message or meaning, I guess.
Has it always been that way for you?
Mostly. There are times where I try to do more realistic things and sort of stick to real world images, which is fun for practice or for various things, but I just feel much happier when I do things where they sort of lead me on rather than the other way around.
Do your works ever come out more abstractly?
Usually it's pretty representational. Yeah.
Do any of you have any questions for each other?
I was actually curious if either of you feel like your art has a storyline to it, or if it's more of a just image-based, if that makes sense.
It makes sense to me, actually.
That's
yeah.
A good question.
Yeah. Are you telling a story? Do you have a theme that you keep returning to, perhaps?
I do. I think my work is is pretty thematic. I mean, it's it has a lot to do with, I guess I keep going back to dualities, but, you know, I deal with a lot of conflict in myself between what I see as beautiful and what I see as terrible. I also have a lot of, I'd say, conflict between feminine and masculine. And that definitely comes out in my work, which isn't necessarily comfortable to talk about, right. But it, at the same time, it comes out really strong.
That's why you make the work. Art, so you don't have to talk about it.
Exactly. Right. The word should speak for itself, but it's very cathartic. And so I would say yes. I would say I'm definitely telling a story. It's my story through my work. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think everybody can relate to, you know, the inner voices. And I know a lot of my work is about using what you have at hand. And there's, in my mind, this is like, that's not art. You can't use that. That's, you know, and then constantly the voice is in my head directing me and telling me, you know, you can't do that, you can't do this. And then the other side is like, well, why not? Why can't you do this? And so it's kind of like optimism and pessimism, and I'm always trying to let optimism win out by stifling, you know, with the practice of stifling the pessimism and just being optimistic and using what you have.
I absolutely feel that too. Yeah.
Duality. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a message for mine. I like to see it as like as a message of hope of like, you can be self-reliant if you just get creative and use what you have and go from there and somehow, you know, be inventive and make it work. And I think that's a little more interesting than going to the store and buying something that's ready-made and somebody else decided for you what the rules were and how things were going to work and be set up. So I would.
Well, what drew each of you to art making? Starting with Corinne.
Mm-hmm. I guess I can't really remember a time when I wasn't wanting to make art. So I don't know. I don't understand or learn very well auditorily, so I guess visual things are always a little bit stronger for me.
How about you, Curtis?
I think I've been producing art since as long as I can remember. So it's always been that way. Like Corinne, I'm very visual. It's just always been that way. It's a compulsion. You have to do it. It's an absolute necessity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. It keeps me in my happy place. It keeps my brain going when I'm creating, and it's keeping that going. And so I've always made art. And I know we did a lot of moving when I was growing up and being in the military. And so we were constantly packing up the house and setting it up and packing it up and setting it up. And so I know I like to arrange things, and I've always had this affinity for collecting and arranging and displaying. And so I feel like for me, like, installation is newer to me than the art making is. It's kind of like I have these collections of things that I've made, and now I'm bringing them all together and putting them into a larger spaces and grouping them all together, so they're now seen as a whole rather than just separate components. So same impulse, but just growing it.
Nancy Tobin. Also here have been Curtis Patrick Arnold and Corinne Billings. Curtis will give an artist talk this Saturday, May 12th at 5:30 p.m. And Nancy will give one on Thursday, May 17th at 6 p.m. D-State at Black Fawn Gallery, corner of 2nd and G Streets in Old Town Eureka. The exhibit runs through May 26th. The gallery is open to the public Thursdays through Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and by appointment. For information, you can visit blackfawnart.com or phone 707-798-6207. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves on KHSU. The 20th annual North Coast Open Studios will be held the first 2 weekends of June. This month on Art Waves, I'm featuring interviews with Charter Artist members. Arcata Potter Peggy Loudon will be open both weekends this year. And she is a Charter Open Studio artist. I visited with her recently in her pottery studio.
Well, I discovered a new clay body called granite, which looks like cement, kind of. So it's the antithesis of my porcelain. So it's been pushing me, and I'm really intrigued by the surface. I've been leaving some unglazed and some glazed, and so I'm using a new glaze called Butter White, and I'm also incorporating a tiny bit of red detail, which is a little X, a little red X, and it looks sort of industrial. Sort of harkens back to an industrial look, but yet modern, contemporary, a little on the edgy, I think, but still accessible.
It's interesting when you say granite, I think about, where you go and mine for granite or something like that.
Right.
Or the Flintstones, I don't know.
It's a gray clay body with little black specks.
Show me an example.
I was hoping you'd ask. So this is a tumbler. This is the granite, the red X. This is the butter white. I made my son a dinnerware set because he's getting married.
Oh, congratulations.
So, thanks. So these are the plates, the bowls, and the tumblers. I was influenced by a cookbook that my sister gave me that's based out of Portland. So it has a little bit of a hipster vibe, I think. Yeah. It's earthy yet still cosmopolitan-ish. So I'm excited about that.
What I'm noticing with a lot of your work here in your studio is it's got lighter colors. You seem to be attracted to lighter colored work. We've got some light blues, and we've got a lot of white and off-white, and of course, I'm sure you can categorize the color much better than I, because I just say white, blue, things like that. But it looks like you're, because in other words, I don't see a lot of, say, purples and blacks and things like that.
Right. I'm excited about purity of color, and I like pots that are more contemporary. I am more a form person. Form is, to me, more important than color glaze. The form needs to be strong. You can't disguise a bad form with flashy glaze. So I believe in purity of form, and then the glaze enhances that purity. So for me, I want the form to be the main thing people look at. And I know I'm a little naive because people are all about color. But for work that I want to transcend time, that will outlive me, that will be strong into the future, I think the form is key to that. So that's why I tend to lean toward more pastel colors and to stand out from the crowd. There's a lot of earthy brown glazes, which are fine, and that appeals to a lot of people. Just my own sensibility, clean lines, clean form, and pure white glazes resonate.
Now, do you, when you create your work, because I'm noticing, like you said, you made a set of dinnerware for your son who's getting married. Do you like to concentrate on work that is, the word is utilitarian? I think I'm correct about that, that people can use in their everyday lives, drink from, eat from.
Most definitely. However, my caveat is, even if you just look at it, it's still functional. So honestly, a lot of people buy my work to look at, to have on their mantle, to display, which is fine. That to me is a function. We need beauty in our homes. So I make what I want to make, and I hope people buy it. So far it's been working.
Why did you choose the medium that you work in rather than, say, drawing or painting or photography?
I can't draw. I can't paint. I sucked at art when I was a little kid. I actually hated my art classes. It was such a negative experience to me. Until I got to College of the Redwoods, I never took an art class. And I took my first art class in 1972, which was ceramics with regimenti. And it was a phenomenal thing that happened. I just loved it. It was visceral. I loved it. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't think in a million years I'd be a potter. But it was a physical response. I just loved it. And I was going to make it happen somehow.
Why open studios for you?
It is a no-brainer. I was hoping you'd ask because I love open studio. I love having people come to my shop. I love explaining the process. I think it adds to the experience of using the piece. I have like a self-guided tour that talks about my wheel, talks about my glazes, talks about my kilns, talks about the electricity for my electric kiln, the gas for my gas kiln. With that knowledge, I think people relate more to the work. And when they're using it, hopefully, they will be able to remember that, and it will just add to that experience. I love open studio. I love people, and I love sharing what I do with people.
How about open studio's place in our community of Humboldt County? The idea of having a place where people can go and view art in process. Why do you think this is important?
I think it's important for people to understand artists and craftspeople, where they work, how they work, how they make it happen, how they support themselves, just knowing more about the painters, where they paint, the potter, the woodworker. It's all melded together. We're all doing this in our own little shops, you know, from wherever, Garberville to Trinidad. And it's an education, and it's an opportunity for people to educate themselves and get to know us, talk to us, share their story with us too, and why they buy craft or why they buy art. And I think it's a win-win, because then I get to know them, I get to imagine my piece in their home, and they can share with me. And so many people do tell me where my pots are in their house, and what an honor that is. I am honored and humbled that they come back and tell me that they've been buying my work for 30 years and da-da-da, and their child has one of their little baby bowls. Or how lucky we are. How lucky we are here that this opportunity is available to all of us.
Peggy Loudon, Charter, North Coast Open Studios artist. And she'll be open both weekends in June for Open Studios. For more information about North Coast Open Studios, you can visit northcoastopenstudios.com. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves on KHSU. This last part of the program is dedicated to my son, Andrew, who is graduating with a journalism degree from Humboldt State University this coming Saturday, May 12th. I'm so happy and proud. I also am thinking about how we used to sing each night before his bedtime. The songs were not simply the rockabye songs. There were others that have been important to me since I was very young, and ones that seemed to fit for their humor. And in this case, for their want and need to look back and remember. And it's so important to remember. This is a song we sang quite often. Here's the Carpenters. And it's Yesterday once more.
When I was young, I'd listen to the radio, waiting for my favorite songs. When they played, I'd sing along. it made me smile. Those were such happy times, and not so long ago. How I wondered where they'd gone. But they're back again, just like a long lost friend.
That's it for today's program. Please join me again Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. You can also listen to Art Waves anytime online at khsu.org. Art Waves podcasts are available for download from iTunes. Until next time, I'm Wendy Butler. Thank you for listening.